Joy.
Good morning. Good morning to all of you. You may be seated. Good to see everyone. Judy and Mike are back from Florida. Sorry, we still have snow. It's just been, what is that, Lord? Just when we thought we had the weather all predicted. Oh, my goodness. Well, how is everybody? Y'all good? One of these times, I'm going to come out, and I'm just going to get the microphone and say, what's the Lord been telling you this week? Like, what if you got to write down one thing that the Lord told somebody this week and say, I'll have me some of that. Some of it might be a little confrontational. Some of it, I'm sure, is encouraging. Some of it might be a question mark. You have to write it down and think about it. But there's certain people that you should identify in your life. And this is what I'm talking about. Maybe we always want what we don't have. And we always think that we don't have something somebody else has. Does that make sense? So right now, let me look you all over as a bunch and say, the Lord is talking to you. Say, the Lord is talking to me. Absolutely. The Father is talking to me. And Jesus is talking to me. And I'm listening. Okay. All right. Because that is what seems to intrigue people so much. And I know for years I would listen to people like Joyce Meyer, especially Joyce Meyer, when I came out of my old church. And I would watch her and I would watch Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen was on late at night, like 3 a.m. And he was so encouraging. And so remember how we've been teaching on kindness? Well, kindness is about encouragement. But as I look back on my life, I came out of something that had become very, the leaders, not, I don't believe the scriptures were that way, but the leaders had become very, well, they weren't kind, that's for sure. There wasn't encouragement at all. And so when you don't have encouragement, you will start to question who you are, what you do, what you know, all right? And so that kindness, part of that is encouragement. Well, I think looking back, that's why I like Joel Osteen so much. He was on at 3 a.m. I came from home from work about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and somehow I stumbled on him, and he is so encouraging. And so people think he's a fluffy teacher. You know what? He's very deep. If you listen to him, he encourages, he's funny, and then all of a sudden he'll have a one-liner that goes deep. And people listen to him. There's a whole lot more people filling those kind of churches that are encouraging and kind and practical than people that have churches that are heavy doctrinal oriented. Because when we're not careful, when we get very, like Tom was talking about, we get very knowledgeable, we get very doctrinal. If we're not careful, we get very just hard. And Tom next week is going to go there. He's going to talk about that. And so then I started to listen to Joyce Meyer because I was encouraged with Joel. Then I got a little more confident. So I started flipping channels. I felt safe to watch other things. I could take it. And she would talk about how God did all this stuff with her. She would say, well, God told me this and God told me that and God told me to put those chickens back. You ever heard that story she does about she went to the store and took all her kids because the chickens were on sale? And it's supposed to be 2 per person. So she brings all her kids and gets each of them 2. And they're all in the lines. Now this relates to me because I would do the same thing. My mother and I have been up to those kind of shenanigans before. Occasionally we still do this for teen camp. You know, we got to get cases of pop and you get a limit of 2. It totally spoke to me. And she said she's in the line. They've all got their money. And the Holy Spirit says, put them back. Put them chickens back. Well, Lord, that couldn't possibly be us that you're talking to. And so she had him go, put all the chickens back, and got the 2. You know, Tom could preach a message right here, and I probably could too, about poverty mindset. Because faith would say, well, you know what? We're going to have all the chickens we need, even if they're not on sale. And we're going to have the money to get whatever we need, even if it's not on sale. So be careful what you do. And so I started to watch her. And never once did I think, oh, well, God talks to her, but he doesn't talk to me. I, from the get-go, was like, you know what? I'll have some of that. Like, if he's going to talk to her that way, boy, God, he's going to talk to me that way, too. Years ago, I heard somebody, I don't know who it was, say, well, you know, you can't ask God what kind of spaghetti sauce to buy. Well, I beg to differ. As conversational as I am with you is the way the Father and the Lord Jesus want to be. Do you think your bestest friend has more authority in the kingdom to talk to you nonstop than God if he wants to? Or Jesus if he wants to? I'm so tired of people asking me, hey, I want to hear from God and I want to do this thing. Well, what do you expect? Nothing? Like, expect big. John Kelly would agree with me. Right? God talks to you all the time, doesn't he? Talks like you too. You're like you're his friend. He has concerns about you and cares about you. It was interesting. Last night we went to a concert. It was at the Troy Cultural and Arts Center. It's called the Hayner Center. And John was the guest violin player for an hour and a half. He played. And you know what? He's so gifted in the spirit first. And when he spoke in between the pieces that he played, every sentence either started or ended with something about God. That's what I noticed. He credited it all to the kingdom. He talked about God. He talked about Jesus Christ. He talked about the supernatural. And I know there were some people that were uncomfortable in there. But he was comfortable with it. And it was an expectation. I believe there's people that walked out of there not going, oh, John Kelly is such a wonderful violinist from Ireland. No, I believe they walked out of there going, you know what? I want God to talk to me about what I'm doing in life like he does to John Kelly. And the way we get there is encouragement. The way we get there is encouragement. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord. So I'm happy to report we have each other. So that was a whole bunny trail. That was not even on my notes. So what is the point of all that? There are people in your life that when you talk to them, your Holy Spirit likes them. And your Holy Spirit will talk to you while they are talking to you. Are you listening to me? I would hope today that while I'm talking, your Holy Spirit starts saying something to you. Don't go by rote, like, okay, let me just write every verse she's saying. Yep, that's a nice one-liner. Yep, you know, what? Engage. Expect your Holy Spirit to say something to you or reveal something to you, or you have a knowing, or you get a ping. Are you with me? Then when you expect that, you'll start looking for it. And there'll be certain people that you'll develop a very close relationship with because I just say to them, my Holy Spirit likes you. My Holy Spirit likes your Holy Spirit, and things talk. And it's good. If you expect it'll happen all the time, I believe. I don't go far without my phone to write little notes in. We were watching a little video of Catherine Kuhlman the other day. I've seen that probably 10 times. And we wanted to show it. We were having dinner out at the Dill Farm, and Tom and Sue were going to show it to Joe and Jake. And I almost didn't watch it because I've seen it so many times. And I saw something I've never seen before. I wasn't looking just at her. Behind her was a sign, a huge sign on the stage where she was doing a conference back in the 70s. And it was partially occluded at the top. So I'm like, Lord, what does that say? I want to see what that says. It was big individual letters, and it was a phrase. And the phrase said, his banner over us is love. That is what her conference, his banner over us is love. Isn't that something? And then she said this one statement, and I immediately wrote it down. She was praying, and she said, to have the experience to know you have yielded your will to the will of the Father. Now that is deep. We should all be going, yes! Yes, Lord! More of that! To know that you have yielded your will to the will of the Father. Remember last week when I said, the Holy Spirit said to me, well, it was 2 weeks ago when I was talking about giving with Tom, well, your giving doesn't match what you're asking. And that didn't bother me in the least. I like straight talk. You want to go more? Then he's going to have to tell you some things you may not want to hear. And I was happy for it. Jeff and I had to talk about it, and that's a whole other thing you can listen to. To have the experience that you have yielded your will to the will of the Father. That's what it takes to walk by the Spirit. And so you're always looking for the things in your life that are causing static. So that you don't have anything that just distracts you. Does that make sense? And you'll get sharp at it. I'm talking to a bunch of folks that have been doing this longer than I have. But I was talking to Tom a week or two ago, and he was talking about something he's going to teach. Well, he said something, and I said, I think you should teach it. I told him this morning, listen, you need to really impart this to them. He was stirred up about it. I mean, like danger, 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 Will Robinson. It was that kind of stirred up. That'll take you back a little bit, won't it? Is that a little robot in there? Hi to the live streamers. I'm sorry for you today. Oh, Joe Salvo said, I'm going to be watching live streaming. I said, oh no, I have to behave. Nah, not really. And so my Holy Spirit started talking to me while he was talking about where he's going to go next week. And I just kept hearing this one word over and over. And the word was unbelief. Unbelief. And to first think about that, we're like, well, we believe. We believe. We believe. We're believers, right? But you want to root out unbelief somewhere, somehow. It usually looks like the things you don't like. Well, bless God, if they teach this, I'm out of there. I'm leaving. They better never go there. Well, guess what? We've gone some places that we all used to go, well, if we say Jesus without Christ, I'm out of there. Yeah, I'm looking at Judy and Mike because we went down this road together. I had to caution them and say, you can't say that. Like, you can't say that here. Not yet. It was like yelling bomb in an airport. People just literally lost their mind. We couldn't say favor, covenant, blood. Now listen, hello? Before that, I used to be in a place that we couldn't say lucky, Christmas, wish. You know, when your whole life is governed by what you can't do and say, believe me, you're real preoccupied with a whole lot of things that aren't about God talking to you. And then we wonder, like, well, the Lord's not talking to me. Really? Well, you're distracted. There's a whole lot of static going on. John calls it real time. God is talking in real time. Anything you see in the world, God can do it better. Like the best reality show you ever watched. Anything you think is so intriguing, God has got everything hands down better. Cooler, better. My goodness, lately we've been talking about time, dimensions. Stephen Hawking didn't have nothing on God. And he wants to reveal those things to us. Somebody wrote me a note this morning. I could have cried when I read it. If I could ask them about it, I would read it. But it was so from the heart about, I really want to hear from God. I really want to walk by the Spirit. I really want to have that in my business. I want God to reveal to me the hidden things. You know what? That gentleman's going to get it because he is expecting it. Now, the next thing is he going to allow it? So now he's going to have to face areas where he probably has some unbelief, some doubt, some fear that really stops us from allowing things to happen, because that's why you can't enter in. Does that make sense? And that's the hard talks. That's the things that God and the Lord Jesus get to reveal to you. Nobody else has to come tell you. Let them tell you. Let them ping you. You don't have to go into some confessional and tell all your stuff. Like they don't know already. But I will tell you this, there is healing in revealing. There is healing in revealing. So many times when we sit with folks for prayer ministry, they won't know where to go or what to say, but the Lord will say, what about this? And you who is leading that will, by word of knowledge, say something to them that they maybe didn't even remember. And what happens is their faith just goes skyrocketing because their trust has changed. Now they trust that God knows something. And it's so cool because they trust you because of what God is doing. So you're in it, but they're not leaning on you. They're leaning on the Holy Spirit. So, this unbelief word comes up. And I'm like, well, this is intriguing, Lord. What do you want to tell me about this? What does this mean? He said, this is why you need fun. Like, you need fun. Remember that time I talked about Jesus was in charge of the fun ship? Like, everybody get on the fun ship and all this other stuff. And half the time, I feel like a cruise director. I mean, literally. Last week, we were going to a nice dinner after church. And the Lord said, you know, you and Jeff ought to invite some people that don't have a place to go. And so there were several of our young people that didn't have a place to go. And then it was, you should ask this person, and you should ask this person. We ended up with 52 people at lunch last Sunday. And it was just the most exciting, fun time. Who was there? Look at this. A whole bunch of you were there. And even my husband said, honey, I was sitting at lunch looking over all these tables and thinking, look at everybody smiling, having such a nice time, and the food was good, and it was just, it was special. Because the Holy Spirit was in it. And the word talks about fellowship and food and fun. Kevin was even talking to one of the gentlemen there from Rotary. And he's like, yeah, there's a church here that has 52 people. Kevin's like, yeah, that's our church. The guy was like, wow. In a way, it's kind of sad to me that it's not the family holiday it used to be. Like, all our families grew up, it was as big as Christmas to get together and celebrate Easter. But hey, God got it covered, right? But this idea about fun, and you won't be around me much, and we're doing something fun. Do you hear me? Like, we're going to the movie, we're going to be at somebody's house playing cards. My goodness, we were at Jill and Rufus's one time, we had a big old card party. We were out at the Dill House last weekend and took Joe and Jake Salvo out for a big dinner around the table, and it was just fun being together like that. What happens is fun builds joy. Fun builds joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. The Lord had to put this together for me. And then it yields happiness too, although happiness is fleeting. But that joy thing, and when I'm in those places, I tell you, the Lord just talks to me like crazy. You know, tell me about when you get in times where you're low. And you feel down, or you feel, I even hate to say the D word, feel depressed. All those, you just feel not perky. Okay, you got that? Does that translate? It looks like this. Oh, woe is me. If you're around me, it just means if I'm not talking, everybody's like, are you okay? I'm like, you know, I'm okay, I'm just taking a break. But for me, those times, you have to be very careful. Because if not, self-pity will come along. And you can either take it and say, well, I'm going to have some quiet meditation time with the Lord. Or you can say, well, I'm in the wilderness, but hey, Jesus was too. So the Lord's still going to be there with me. Or you're going to be like, well, nothing's happening. He's not talking to me. I'm not hearing from anybody. Not even an angel. Lord, send an angel. Send something. Right? Oh my goodness. You need some fun in your life, some joy in your life. You with me? Think about what that looks like. Who's it with? Who are you going to invite into it? You know, when you see married couples that are very happy, one of them usually is the cruise director that plans things and does things, or they wouldn't end up doing anything or going anywhere. Right? It's a big deal. You need joy. And some happiness and some fun. And things will change for you with walking by the Spirit. Oh my goodness. Let's look at what unbelief is. Distrust, the antithesis of faith. And remember, the definition of faith is trust. And it said, skepticism, especially in religious matters. Skepticism, especially in religious matters. One time, the Lord had me teach a message and tell them that they were all under attack from fear. And it was all, without exception, because they were always going, I'm not sure about that. And that was the door for fear for them. I'm not saying for everybody, but for that particular group, I'm not sure about that. Now, you can say that any given day of the week, but if I'm not sure about that or I don't know about that opens up the door to fear, you got a problem, right? Because doubt will take you right to unbelief if you're not careful. The other thing that feeds unbelief is condemnation. Condemnation and then unworthiness. And then you get unbelief. How could you be born again as long as you are, for those of you sitting in here and come up with, I don't think I'm saved anymore. Somewhere along the line, you considered something you shouldn't have been considering. Because I do not know how you are going to put that with the grace and truth that Jesus brought. Like, there's no room for that. Amen. You know, I like either, I don't like either or, I like and both. Not on that subject. Not on that one. And so, to believe is to accept as true, especially without proof. This is what Webster said, to believe, belief. Belief is accepting something as true, especially without proof. So let me ask you this. How do you reveal unbelief? I mean, most of us in here have been believing in Jesus for a long time. We believe in the kingdom and the Holy Spirit and the Father and all those things. We like that Newsboys song here. For those of you listening, we like the Newsboys song. I believe in the Father. I believe in the Holy Spirit. I believe in Jesus Christ, right? All of those. How do you reveal unbelief? This is how you reveal unbelief. Ready? You listen to what it says. You listen to what it says. Now, I could say I would listen to what you are saying, but unbelief will talk to you first. By the time it's coming out of here, you're kind of long down that trail. What is it saying to you? Unbelief. Remember, the devil is a liar and the author of all the lies. And so he says things and he absolutely whispers things. He likes to whisper things to you and stir up strife. Because unbelief comes from a lie that we have believed. Right? Yes. It's a lie that we have believed something. Let me show you this in Romans 4. You got to root out the lie and then you'll find out where unworthiness is. That's why when I sit in prayer ministry, folks that are believers 30, 40 years, and the root of something is they don't believe they deserve something. Like, you know, if I tell you this or you know this, it is so bad. But the bottom is I don't feel worthy to receive. Well, that is a combination of a lie that is rooted in unbelief. They go back and forth. Look at Romans 4 in the NIV. We'll start in verse 18, Case. It's a great translation. Verse 18 in NIV, Romans 4. There it is. Look at that. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was good as dead, and since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through what? Unbelief regarding the promise of God. So what combats unbelief? The promise of God. But was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God. So wherever there's a lie that's believed, every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. Remember that? That's worth remembering. I, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. The one thing that I took away from, there were several things, but I took my phone out in this dark conference concert last night and wrote it in my phone. John said it so quick, I don't know if anybody heard it, but I sure did. And he said this, God leads you out of your fears. God leads you out of your fears. I thought, hello, everybody, that was the worth the price of your ticket right there. Oh, it was free. Hey, just like Jesus. God will lead you out of your fears. That's all tied in with that unbelief. Hebrews 3:12, I'm sure Tom will get there next week, so we'll jump past that. I want you to look at Jeremiah 7. Jeremiah 7:24, we'll start there. Under this heading of Jeremiah 7, there were three words written in capital letters: false, religion, and worthless. Those three words under chapter 7 heading: false, religion, and worthless. And I so love how descriptive the word is. I like descriptions and adjectives. Here we go. I thought this read like the world we live in today. One of the things the Lord said when he was talking to me about that unbelief the other week, and this is while Tom was on the phone, we were chatting back and forth. I'm like, okay, I understand the whole fun and joy and happiness. So yeah, big deal. Not everybody's like that. And he's like, they better be. Like, the biggest problem that you deal with is unbelief. And really, not me personally, was what he was trying to say to me, is what is around you. The whole world is all about unbelief. It literally sucks on you and tries to just pull you like quicksand. And he said the statement, you know, believe something lest you believe nothing. Believe something lest you believe nothing. And so don't beat yourself all up and say, well, Lord, reveal all these spirits that I have and tell me all these weighty problems. You know what? You can totally have it together in every area of your life with you and the Holy Spirit and the kingdom. God is talking to you and Jesus is talking to you and you're having encounters. Everything on a list that would look like you have the perfect spiritual life, and you, I promise, are still going to wake up some days and feel like, you know, it feels kind of crappy today. I just feel like, I don't know why, but I don't feel like so hot. Before you even get out of bed. Why? Because we live in an unseen kingdom. It's about kingdoms that you don't see. And there are things that are coming to jump all over you and knock on your door and drag you. You ever watch the MTV Kids Movies Awards and they throw that slime all over people and they act like it's the greatest, funnest thing? I'm like, that don't look like fun to me. I don't care if you get me a plastic mat and a hose. I'm not in that. Because, you know, that stuff's going to get in places that you just can't see. It's going to slime all over you. You know, think about that. Mud. It's insidious. That's what that kind of stuff is. And so we've got to be proactive with the scripture, with spending time in the word. We should be, that's why, you know, for years I didn't understand retemories. I just felt like it was so by rote. But we ought to be able to combat what the devil is whispering and the world is preaching with the scripture. Yeah. It's more important than the words of the world. It's life. It's powerful. With visions, to be able to say, God, I'm going to go to bed tonight and I'm not having nightmares. I want you to start giving me some Holy Spirit dreams, even if I can't figure them out. I want some cool stuff. Yeah. Right? Well, just start saying what you want. What do you want to do? Where do you want to go? What do you want to see? Ask extravagantly. You know what? Because you can have all the money in the world and be the most important person in the world, and it won't be anything to you without what the Holy Spirit's doing, because that's the cool stuff. That's the stuff nobody can replicate, is what God is doing just for you. Those are the testimonies that we can stand here and talk all week about. Look at this here in Jeremiah 7:24. But they did not listen or pay attention. Instead, they followed the stubborn inclination of their evil hearts, and they went backward and not forward. This is just like today. I do not want to be in this boat. This is a boat that has oars missing and a hole in it, and people trying to push you out. It's like the Titanic, and the water's cold and freezing. There's no diamond necklace in this boat either, people. For the time your ancestors left Egypt until now, day after day, and again, I sent you my servants, the prophets, but they did not listen to me or pay attention, the people. God is still sending people today. He's sending all of us out every day as his servants and prophets, and this is the response most people are going to give. We can't get in unbelief. We can't get disheartened and give up. And then we got to say, hey, maybe he's sending one to me too. Who's coming to talk to me? They were stiff-necked and did more evil than their ancestors. I thought that was very descriptive and interesting, stiff-necked. Look at 27. When you tell them all this, they will not listen to you. And when you call to them, they will not answer. Therefore, say to them, this is the nation that has not obeyed the Lord its God or responded to correction, and truth has perished. It has vanished from their lips. You know what will keep you sane is speaking the word. Praying it, singing it, speaking it, and knowing it. There's a movie called The Book of Eli. It's quite a powerful movie, let me tell you. Go watch that with Denzel Washington and see what happens at the end and go, oh my gosh. Oh, wow. Here's what stiff-necked means. Used in both the Old and New Testament. Stubborn, not to be led. When people come to me and they say, my kids are rebellious and they're stubborn and they won't do what they're supposed to do, I'll say, let's pray for you first. What were you like at the same age? Because what we often see is the other kingdom came down through your line, through you, and you never handled it, you just subdued it. And they either learned it from you, or it came through the line, or the devil thinks he has a place to do it. So let's pray for you first. Things get real dicey real quick there, because I usually get a bunch of, oh, I'm all good. But if we're in humility, we just say, hey, let's get on our knees and let the love of God wash over us and the power of the Holy Spirit reveal some things to us. Who cares what it looks like? Most people get an agreement for their kids' sake. You know, if your kids aren't doing what you want them to do, if you've got people that you work with in business that aren't doing what you believe God wants them to do, you say, hey, Jesus, go get them. Would you go get them already? Get them and bring them back here so I can love them. In fact, send out an army host of angels to go get them. Well, get an agreement, right? Go get them. Bring them back to their borders. The plow was usually drawn. Well, let's go up here and say this. I had to ask Kevin how to say this. The derivation. How's that, Kevin? Of the idea was entirely familiar to the Jews, with whom the ox was most useful and common of their animals. The plow was usually drawn by two oxen, and as the plowman required but one hand to guide the plow, he carried in the other an ox goad. It was a light pole with an iron spike, and he would prick the oxen upon their hind legs to increase their speed, and upon the neck to turn or keep them on a straight course. If an ox was hard to control or stubborn, it was hard of neck or stiff-necked. Hence the figure seen in scriptures to express stubborn, untractable people, not responsive to the guiding of their God. Well, you know what? When I read this, I prayed immediately. I'm like, Lord, I'm coming before you and the Lord Jesus. Wherever I'm stiff-necked, wherever I'm hard, wherever I'm stubborn, like, take it from me. Like, take it from me. We are fools if we think we are all good all the time, because we're constantly under attack. Now, it's not fear, it's what? Faith. Faith is totally fine without knowing, without understanding, without having to figure it out. It's fine to float in the clouds with Jesus and the angels. Just float. And go when they say go, and stop when they say no. Stiff-necked, proud, and obstinate. You know, and the longer you do this, you'll have to be really kind in your spirit, because you'll start to notice things about people. You'll notice people that are afraid of you. It's not them, it's the things that they're dealing with, like their fear, their intimidation. They won't want to hug you. They will, when they come by you, they'll put their head down and look at the ground. They might get up and leave when you're preaching. My Lord, I was preaching a teen camp one time, and we were preaching on kingdoms and unbelief and all of this, preaching Jesus. And somebody went blind. Literally went blind during the right after the teaching. And everybody kind of freaked out and came to get me, and I brought this person into the back room, and the minute we ministered in the name of Jesus, her sight came instantly back. That was a spirit from the other kingdom occluding her vision. We've had people choke, cough, fall on the ground, you know, stuff that people were like, didn't even know was coming against them. And we make it so easy on the devil because our mouth just will just go there. Just go there. Well, look at Acts 7:51. You stiff-necked, stubborn people, your hearts and ears are still uncircumcised. And this is in Acts, folks. You are just like your ancestors. You always resist the Holy Spirit. That is very strong. I usually try to refrain from saying always. Resist the Holy Spirit. Lord, we do not resist the Holy Spirit. More, Lord, more. Are you up for that? More, Lord, more. Go back to the beginning here. You know what? Part of my job is to encourage people to more. To more. Take us to more than we had before. You up for that? How about we say that? Take us to more than we had before. Take me to more than I had before. See, I mean, that's something worth repeating there, folks, in all areas of life. A lot of people can't say that about money or provision. What does that look like? If the Lord said, Tim, I'd like you to have a really, really nice car. Tim would be up for it, I think. He'd drive that proudly. And you'd have to think about what to say when somebody said, well, how did you afford that, or where did you get that? You'd have to say, my daddy got it for me. My daddy's happy I got that. He wants me to have that. Think about that. Take me to more than I had before. In John 7:5, it says about Jesus that even his own brothers did not believe in him. Even his own brothers did not believe in him. I've heard this in my spirit several times in the last 6 months. I actually looked up where it came from. A man convinced against his will is of the same opinion still. And I thought, well, that's a cute little saying, but it just came to me several times in the last 6 months. But it kept me on track from getting into silliness with people. I found something on my Facebook that I put out again. Somebody sent it to me a year or two ago, and it says, you do not have to attend every argument you are invited to. And of course, immediately somebody got on there and started writing stuff. And of course, I answered once, and then I answered twice, and the Lord was like, stop already. You're just going right into an argument with this dude. What are you doing? You don't have to. Because he wanted to debate me on scripture. And I was like, well, wait a minute, that's not what I meant. Now he took that the wrong way, and I'm just going to have to say this. And then it was like, nope, stop. And then I noticed people were coming to my defense. I was like, oh, no. Guess who said that? Benjamin Franklin said that. I Googled it and looked it up. Well, look at this in Luke 22. In the NIV, this is Jesus, it's verse 66. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the teachers of the law, met together. And Jesus was led before them. If you are the Messiah, they said, tell us. And Jesus answered, if I tell you, you will not believe me. And if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God. Holy Spirit adjectives. When I was around John Kelly the first time, he would always talk about the living God. And I mean, it always catches my attention every time I hear it. Because it's just not God, it's the living God. Like, doesn't that move something in you? It's descriptive. just like stiff-necked was, right? Lord, don't count me in that group, please. Here's John 3, 11 through 12. This is NIV. Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and testify of what we have seen, and you do not accept our testimony." Well, there's nothing new under the sun, right? He didn't say, "Hey, everybody, be quiet. Don't tell anything anymore because nobody believes you anyways." But that's the first thing. When you have a testimony from God about what he's done for you, the devil will come and say, "That nobody cares. That didn't really happen. Are you sure you're healed? I don't know." We had someone that we administered to several times, a young person. And I mean, by the third time, I was like, "What is going on, God, that this is not sticking?" I mean, we had it, it's there. So finally, when I called to talk to her, I said, "Let's pray." And she goes, "Yeah, you know, we can pray. But usually by the time I get to the parking lot, I figured it didn't work." You know, what does unbelief sound like? What does it look like? How does it talk to you? Then you have to catch how you do it with other people. We'll never have that. We're always going to live in this little house. We're always going to drive beater cars. Give, Lord, we don't got enough money to even pay the bills here. We live paycheck to paycheck. Like, X that out of your speaking right now. Because I can tell you that about every one of us in here has said that once in our life. I live paycheck to paycheck. Like, we're proud of that? I cancel that out in Jesus' name. I got money coming in like a waterfall. And it doesn't scare me because the Lord's going to tell me what to do with it. I got more than enough to give. And I'm going to tell you this. You want to get out of debt, the more you start giving, the more the debt, the quicker the debt will go. God did it with us. He'll do it with you. He absolutely will. He's all about freedom, not bondage. And he says, don't go back to it. So therein is a lesson, right? So you can have all the debt you want, but if it feels like bondage around your neck, and it drags you, and you think about it, and you're concerned about it, and think you don't have enough money to even pay your bills, you'll just go deeper in. There won't be supernatural testimony if we don't get in agreement with more. If I told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? That's why I'm standing here and I am saying to you from the mouth of the Lord that you are absolutely hearing from God via the Holy Spirit and from the Lord Jesus and angels too if you want to go there. Most of you won't even go there. Oh Lord, wait till we start teaching on provision from angels. We might just clear the room. Well, get ready. Why not? So have me some of that. Read all those crazy testimonies in the Word. You don't think he wants to go above and beyond from us? You get up every day and you say, the Lord talks to me. I just say the kingdom now because it could be God, it could be Jesus Christ, it could be the angels, I don't know. Who cares? I just know the kingdom is doing something with me that trumps whatever else the world's doing. It's the living God, right, John Kelly? The living God. It took me years to get an agreement that Jesus Christ was alive because I sure didn't act like it. Oh, yes, he's alive. He's running the church, but he cannot talk to me. He cannot come near me. He can't do anything. Oh, and if it would, it would be phenomena. And so that would be only for the special people that have a name tag. It hurts me that I have spent the last month with people that are 30 years old that have given their life. This is the next generation below you that are 50 and 60. Sold out bond slaves that were sitting at tables with leaders that told them they were stupid and they taught stupid and they didn't have a right name tag. And I thought, are you kidding me? This is still going on? And that they come and spend an hour with us and felt like we gave them $1 million because they felt loved and part of a family? I tell you, I always wanted four boys. I got three new ones. One's named Brent, one's named Joe, and one's named Jake. So whoever those mothers are, I'm sharing them with you. I done claimed them. They all just came in this family. And their wives and their kids too. And it just hurt me, you know, and they didn't want to say it. I knew it. So I asked some point blank questions. They weren't saying what all happened, but I'm like, what about this? What about that? still going on. Churches all over treating people with that religious hatred crap. Unloving. They're called unloving spirits. Affliction spirits. Something that afflicts you. That's craziness. We're not going to live like that. We're not going to allow that. Please don't let the devil talk to you like that. Don't let him remind you of people that talked to you like that. They have no hold. When you hear those things, you say, I break that off of me in Jesus' name. You get somebody else to pray with you. Lord Jesus, come stand with me. You can't afford to go there. You want to teach your kids how to live in the world when you're not here? You teach them spiritual warfare. And you use your mouth and you use Jesus. He's all here, readily available to us. Lordy, that was a bunny trail. Let's go back. 1 Peter 2:7, this precious value then is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, here is the core of hearing from the kingdom. For those of you who believe and those of you who disbelieve, it comes down to this. The stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone. And who is it? Jesus. Christ, the anointed one, the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. John 6:28, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And he answered. And they asked him in 28, what must we do to work the works of God? The works that God requires. And Jesus in verse 29 said, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. As a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're going to come to me and say, God does not talk to me. I do not hear him. I don't get it. It's just nothing. I don't believe it. We're going to talk about that right there. Do you believe in the one he sent? We're going to go to the verse that says koinonia fellowship with him and the Father. We're going to talk about honoring the Father like you honor the Son. We're going to talk about being translated into his dear kingdom, his Son's kingdom. Right? We're going to talk about allowing Jesus to talk to you, because then you're going to root out confusion. You know what? You can have accurate doctrine. I was taught some things from the past that I will never lose. I know who Jesus is and who he's not. And as long as I have this platform, we're not going to lose it. But God is going to show us how to teach it so that we don't beat people up with it. And the scriptures are very easy about who do we believe. And when Kevin taught the other week about koinonia fellowship, should have lit everybody on fire. All you have to say is, more, Lord. And when you say, Lord, you know, hey, that could be the Father and that could be your brother, the Lord Jesus. I was so tickled when I read one of Wayne's messengers for Christ this week. The very opening line, I should have brought it out. He greeted him, and it said, from our brother, the Lord Jesus Christ, who speaks to you. He wrote that in the first line. Remember Craig? Craig knows them all by heart almost. But it was such a blatant statement from Wayne, from your brother, the Lord Jesus. It was about the Lord Jesus who speaks to you. And it caught me. And I thought, please, Father, let people receive that. You'll go places you've never been. You know, we sang all those songs for years. You know, they've done studies that they put people in audiences and they put people mixed in to laugh on cue. And people will just laugh because other people around them laughed. And we sang songs for years. What a friend we have in Jesus. He walks with me, he talks with me. All these things about Jesus, and yet did it by rote and denied him across the board. Well, I'm sorry, Lord. Jesus appeared to Thomas in, Lord, I don't even know where it is, but listen to what Thomas said. This whole section, Jesus came and stood among them, said, peace be with you. Then Jesus said to Thomas, because he said to them, I'm not going to believe unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails have been and put my hand into his side, I will never believe. And that's how people are with me so often about the things of the kingdom. They don't even have to say it. I can feel it come up in them. That is not who we are. There's stuff in me that still comes up like that. And I have to say, no, like, I'm not going to allow this. And then Jesus said to Thomas, 8 days later, his disciples were once again inside with the doors locked, and Thomas was with them. And Jesus came and stood among them and said, peace be with you. And then Jesus said to Thomas, put your finger here and look at my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe. And Thomas replied, my Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And that's us, a mustard seed of faith. What's the faith test? Faith test? We like to talk about the faith test. Who believes in God? Raise your hand. Hey, you got faith for everything. Who believes in Jesus? Hey, we all passed the test. You got faith for anything, right? There's a lot more things that if we would allow, and you know what? You don't have to be afraid about, well, I'm not going to hear this and I'm not going to go there. That is such immature playground stuff. That is kindergarten stuff. Because if you walk by the Spirit, you don't have to say anything about what anybody else is doing. You traipse right out there and do what God told you to do if you're the only one doing it. And you know what? They're going to all die or line up behind you. And when the crap goes down that's coming in the future, huh, it'll be all about the love of God. That's where people will go, wherever the love is, because all that stuff that operates other power does it without any kind of love. And people will come clawing at your door for just an inch of kindness and encouragement. And that is who we are. That's the kind of people we are. I don't care how many times we miss it, when we say things wrong, when we do things wrong, the blood of Jesus just took care of all of it. Amen. Remember Kevin's teaching the other week? How much that touched people? Who is the Lamb? Who is the Lamb? What a just a powerful, inspired teaching from the Holy Spirit. We're going to play, I want to play something for you. Many of you have seen it before. I do want it on the CD, and it's by a gentleman named, it's a testimony from a gentleman named Ken Helzer. We haven't played it in a while. And when I thought about it this morning again, it reminded me of that section that we read about Abraham, called, you know, the father of all those nations. Huh. Go back and read it in Romans 4. Credited to him righteousness. This guy believed. He and his wife believed. It, to me, it's modern day Sarah and Abraham stuff. And look what came out of it and is still coming out of it and reverberating through the generations. Father, right now in the name of Jesus Christ, we absolutely cut, sever, and cauterize all the stiff-necked, rebellious thinking. Any way that we have risen up against you, against your kingdom, against your son, against your angels, against the work that you've called us to do, Father, we are going to stop being bullheaded. And we're going to press in and receive your love, your kindness, your goodness. We're going to allow Jesus to come to the table and eat with us, to sit with us. Father, we know who we are. Because we know you and we know the Lord Jesus. We don't understand it all. We're never going to know it all. But we know you and we know that you're faithful to everything that you have written, everything that you've told us. And Father, we will have more than we've had before. We absolutely get an agreement to expect it, allow it, and enter into any place you want to take us. We're going to let you, through your Holy Spirit, lead us. That we will hear the way you are communicating with us, Father, so we can continue in this work that you've called us to, taking care of our family and shepherding each other with kindness and love and the goodness of who you are. Father, just soften us. I thank you for Tom next week as he steps out to share what I know you've absolutely spoken to him, and that he'll speak it like the prophet he is, because that's why he was stirred up. It's a prophetic word he's supposed to speak next week. It's a warning. It's a calling back the people. And so it's part of his ministry, and he's going to walk out there, and he's just going to be led by you and the Lord Jesus. It's going to be an exciting time. And Father, I just can't wait to hear it. I thank you for our travels this week, Jeff and I, to see Kristen and her church that she's with in California, for her trip to Mozambique with Heidi Baker. Father, just all the things in all of our lives that we are moving and navigating with you and the Lord Jesus. Father, put the throttle down. We're ready to go. And let the wind of the Holy Spirit blow back our hair, take off the sunglasses and throw off the hats, and bring a Holy Spirit suntan, because I love the heat of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right? So let's watch this. Ken Helzer.
Every story has a beginning, and I don't know where this really begins, except I know in May the 19th, 1970, I came home to Jesus after a rock and roll career and lots of smoking dope, and come home to my wife, and she forgave me for 3.5 years of unfaithfulness, and we began to follow Jesus. And it was hard, it was trying, it was beautiful, but in 1976, something happened that wrecked my heart, my life. She had made several trips to the physician, her gynecologist, her female doctor, and he said, Linda, there's some problems. The long and short was, she had cancer of the uterus, and what was necessary was to have a hysterectomy, a surgery, to remove all the female organs. And I wasn't so concerned about that, because we had 2 daughters, and we had enough, and I didn't want any more children anyway, because I figured some of the drugs I did, why risk having a child deformed? And 2 weeks before the scheduled hysterectomy, a prophetic man, because back in those days in the 70s, nobody was known as a prophet, but a very prophetic man called me and said, I need to see you. Something happened that's life-changing. He would go to a baseball field where there was some swings, kind of a playground, and he would go there in the evening and intercede. Retired school teacher, he prayed. He said, last night I was on a baseball field and Jesus just suddenly appeared in front of me. I've never had that happen before. I was shocked, and the Lord said, it's okay, Kermit, but I have a message I want you to tell my servant, Ken Helzer. I want you to tell him first, I've healed his seed, and I have never told anybody. The reason I didn't even want any more children is I was concerned about the drugs of it. And here's a man that I barely had known only one other time saying, Jesus said, I've healed your seed. And you're going to have a son. And his name will be Jonathan David. And he will play the harp. He will sing like an angel. And he will write prophetic songs for his generation. And his music will go out all over the earth. Now, when you're 2 weeks from hysterectomy, that's dramatic. And I said, God, is this you? And it grew in my heart, and I never knew I wanted a son so badly. And in a short amount of time, my wife and I are praying and telling the gynecologist, can you do one more test? On a Sunday, I anointed her with oil, prayed for her, and it wasn't dramatic. But during that prayer, my wife touched the hem of Jesus' garment. On Friday, with the scheduled hysterectomy on Monday, they did a D&C, and that's when they go in and scrape the wound. The test came back on Saturday, and when the doctor came down the hall whistling, we said, that's a good sign. He stuck his head in the door and said, the pathologist is baffled. He's consulted me 3 times saying, this is not the same woman. Ken, your wife is 200% okay. We got pregnant with a little boy who was named Jonathan David. And he was all boy. He never showed any interest in music. He just loved to play sports. I don't care if it was a ball, he was into it. But at 19 years of age, graduating from high school, he came in my room one night and he said, Daddy, didn't you used to play guitar? See, we never told him the whole thing. We told him, God healed your mommy, we had a baby. We didn't tell him what he was gonna be doing with her. Did you used to play guitar? Can you teach me some chords? And so we sent him off to Nuneaton YWAM in England with a guitar and a Bible. I came to visit him in November. And on the last night before we were returning home, some of the kids said, you should hear some of Jonathan's worship. I said, Jonathan, I got a little cassette replay, and I know your sisters love to hear you. You're playing guitar better. He said, yeah, play a song better. And he played the song, and I went, oh my gosh, who wrote that? And he said to me now, he says, I'll never forget the look on your face. Because you had waited 19, well, really 20 years for a word of a prophet to become reality. We will dance in your palace all our days. We'll sing in your temple with all our praise. We'll shout down the walls in the name of your son because we will overcome. We will overcome. I said, Jonathan, you wrote that. I said, the first song you wrote, it's the prophecy of your entire life. My generation, the 60s, the hippies, we threw away our inheritance. We wasted what God gave us as your generation to take back what my generation destroyed. You're going to take back the land, and you're going to do it through the power of worship. And so it is that here I am, 71 years old, and it used to be, oh, Jonathan David, Ken Helser's your daddy. No more. You're Jonathan David's daddy? Oh, that can't be. I just say, I'm no longer slave to fear. I am a child of God.
We're going to receive a love offering, and we're going to play that entire song during the receiving of that love offering.
You unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a soul of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer
Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy. Help us to wake up to our inheritance and walk like we are the children of the living God. Thank you for having sent your Son, and he received all of our weaknesses so that we could walk in all of your strength. We give you the glory today and the praise in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Christian Family Fellowship Ministry would like to thank you for listening to this recording of our Sunday service. If you would like to partner with us in your giving, you can go to www.cffm.org and use the Give tab, or you can use your cell phone and text to give at area code 937-502-2999. All donations to Christian Family Fellowship are tax deductible. If you'd like to receive free CDs of our weekly service, you can register on our webpage under the Contact Us tab. They are also available as a podcast on iTunes, or you can download them or listen to them on our webpage. Thank you for your generosity and support for the broad efforts of Christian Family Fellowship Ministry, as together we bring God's Word and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ to our world.